One verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know that this is the time that you normally think about getting out of church at. We'll not go too far over it tonight. I did say that it would be a brief message, and I intend to stay with that. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this particular subject, what it means to be a Christian. And the thought of our brother's testimony here tonight, knowing that he was going to give us testimony, led me along this line of thought. I thought about it throughout the week. I was finding it very difficult to get the message opened up, but the Lord was gracious, and I want to bring to you for a short while tonight from these words what it means to be a Christian. First of all, the first thing that it means is a great change has taken place. Notice the words, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, if words mean anything at all, these words have to tell us at the very least a change has taken place. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That tells us there's a change. Now, the change lies largely in this. It lies in the forms that the change assumes. In other words, the way the change is expressed. It lies largely in this. It lies in the response to God and His Word. Now, the gospel is preached regularly, but the usual thing is that people listen to it when they do come to church, week after week, year after year, and the usual response is, that's not for me. I don't want to bother with that. I'm happy to come to church, but don't ask me to commit to it. Don't ask me to let the Lord Jesus Christ come in and take control of my life. That's not for me. I don't want to go that far. I'm happy enough to come, listen to testimony, listen to singing, listen to preaching, sing the hymns, but that's it. And that's the usual tenor of our lives. But whenever this great change comes that results in a person being a Christian, there's a new attitude to the gospel. There's a different response to the gospel. Instead of a continual rejecting of it, there is a receiving of it. This gospel, by the way, is the good news. The good news that God has loved sinful man, and that includes us. That God has provided a Savior for sinful man, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for Him to save men and women, to give men and women this great salvation, He had to procure it. He did that by His sinless life. He was made under the law. He magnified the law and made it honorable. He obtained a righteousness for us that we need. But not only do we need a righteousness, we need all our sins dealt with. All of those sins that have been amassing, that have been accumulating. And there on the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for ransom for us. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for sin to God by the shedding of His blood, by the giving of His life as a substitute. Salvation has been provided. And those now who turn from their sin and receive Him into their lives as Savior and Lord, they undergo a mammoth change. My dear friend, if you're ever going to become a Christian, and it's our prayer continually, there's never a prayer meeting that takes place in this house, but that people are prayed for who are not saved. And for that to take place, you're going to have to undergo a change. You see, you might be religious like what George was, grown up, nurtured in the gospel, out at church three times a Sunday for years of his life. That may be so with you. But for all of that, there's a hidden enmity to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a saying like what they said in the days of the Lord Jesus, we will not have this man to rule over us. Away with him! Crucify him! All of that will change. You'll realize now, oh, the Bible is right. I'm lost. I'm bound for hell. The Bible is right. There is no Savior but the Lord Jesus Christ. The church cannot save me. The sacraments cannot save me. I must flee to Christ. I must trust in Him. I must receive Him as my Savior and Lord. And then once that happens, the change takes place. And that change, as we'll see in a moment, is lived out in certain ways. Let me say this about that change. That change may not be so prominent in a religious, self-righteous person's life. There may be people here who have never dabbled in what we understand as glaring sins. But for all of that, the Lord Jesus Christ called people who never dabbled in that kind of activity. They were religious people, but He said, you're outwardly white at sepulchres, outwardly righteous, but inward, in your heart and life, you're full of dead men's bones and rottenness. That's a religious sinner. That's a person who goes through the motions, but have never experienced this great change. But yet, whenever a person like that becomes a Christian, there's still a change. Oh, it may not be as apparent. It may not be outward to the world. They might have said, huh, I thought he was a Christian. Her, sure, she always passed for a Christian. That may have been so. But there's reality in the heart and life now. There's an inner peace, and there's the assurance and confidence that sin has been forgiven and that it is well with the soul. The religious person who's not a Christian can say equally so with the irreligious. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to its cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So that's the very first thing. A change has taken place. That's what it means to be a Christian. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But very quickly in the second place, what it means to be a Christian? It means a miracle has been wrought in that life. There is no Christian walking around today, or ever has been, or ever will be, but that a miracle has been wrought in him. You cannot become a Christian without a miracle being wrought in you. Listen to the text again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, the very word create means power and miracle. God created this world out of nothing. There wasn't even a speck to begin with. There was nothing. That's what the term means. In the beginning, God created. That word create means creation out of nothing. Now, somebody once observed that whenever God set about creating the world miraculously, there was no opposition. But whenever God set about creating a Christian, the devil and all the forces of hell set themselves against that miraculous work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thankfully, the devil and his forces never succeeded. Yes, there's a miracle wrought in our lives. Read in 1 Peter chapter 1. We are told that we are begotten again. A new birth. A new creation. James says in chapter 1, of his own will begat he us. That means he gave us birth. A new creation. A miracle. The Christian is a miracle. And if you, my dear hearer, are going to become a Christian, then you're going to be the subject of a miracle tonight. Because God will work that miracle in your life. You say, how? The answer's in the text. If any man be in Christ. That's how it comes about. Now, there are three stages of the human soul with regard to Christ. First of all, by nature, we are without Christ, as Paul tells the Ephesians. That's what we are, in a state of nature. But then the Bible tells us in different places, including our text, the Christian is in Christ. That's a state of grace. And then the Bible tells us, one day the Christian is going to be with Christ. That's a state of glory. But we are thinking of the one in Christ. How come? How can we be in Christ? Well, you've got to think of Scripture. The Bible says, in Adam all die. And we were in Adam. Adam was our federal head. He was our representative. Whenever Adam fell, we fell in him. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the last Adam. And he is the head, the representative of a new race of blood-bought, born-again believers. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, I died in him. Whenever he rose from the dead, I rose with him. Thank God tonight the Christian is united to him. And in that sense, we are in him. Or to put it another way, you remember the Lord Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now, a branch will have no life if it's near the vine. It has to be in the vine. And the life of the vine flows through the branches. We are in Christ when we trust him as our Savior. Or to change the figure of speech, Noah's Ark. All the ark was provided, but it was only whenever God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark, Noah, and whenever God shut the door, that they were in Christ in safety. Or, to change the figure again, whenever a man had committed manslaughter, he had killed somebody, but it was unintentional. He could flee, and so also could the man's relative come after him to take his life. But once that man who took the life of another man, inadvertently, accidentally, if he could get to one of six cities in Israel, three on the western side of Jordan, three on the eastern side of Jordan, not a one could touch him. He was in safety. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will come to Christ tonight, turn from your sin. The Bible calls that repentance. And trust him as your Savior. See him as your only hope. Put your faith in him. Then you'll be in Christ. The miracle will have been wrought. And you will be this new creation, this new creature. You will have undergone miraculously a great change. But there's one other thing I want you to notice. We've seen the change. We've seen the miracle. Notice the effects of it all. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's take the first one. Old things are passed away. I was reading C.H. Spurgeon on this. Spurgeon had a lovely illustration. He said, I suppose, this was his own thinking, I suppose the best way to describe this is, he said, to imagine you getting up one winter morning and looking out of your bedroom window, seeing the snow on the foliage of the trees, and looking down on the ground and seeing a white blanket all over the place. And then the sun comes up, and in a short while, the heat of the sun has melted it all away, far more quickly and efficiently than all your sweeping and shoveling and any other machinery that could be used to take away the snow. And he says, whenever the sun of righteousness shines into the heart, comes in by virtue of this conversion, this regeneration we're looking at, he says, at the same time as he shines forth a salvation in our lives, he says, all of these things are taken away. Old notions, old ideas about salvation, the old sneerings at fundamentalist Christianity, the sneerings at God's people, the old fears, all of this goes away. And at the same time, there comes this that's new, new opinions, new notions, new thoughts, new desires. Whereas there never was a love for prayer, there is now. Whereas there never was a love for the Bible and really getting to know it, there is now. Whereas there never was much of a love for coming to God's house, there is now. Whereas there never was a love for the souls of men and women perishing in their sins, he said, there is now. What has happened? All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. New ambitions, new views, new convictions, new desires. And you may say tonight, how am I going to do without this, that, or the other if I become a Christian? You'll not have to worry a thing about it. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ takes over your life, it'll all go. That's not to say that you won't have problems. It's not to say that the old nature will not still be there, because it will. But you will have this new life, and you will find that the Lord will give you the victory. Sin shall not have dominion over you, and that victory will be yours continually as you look to Him. Let me conclude by these words. It's a question. Do you desire this change? Do you desire this miracle to be wrought in your life? Do you desire to have real peace and contentment and satisfaction? Well then, two things. You can have it, but you must go to Christ. This new birth, this conversion, this regeneration, this change, it's linked to Christ's work on the cross. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ said, on three occasions, ye must be born again. Or words, one of those verses are, ye must be born again. The others are, except a man be born again, he cannot see or cannot enter the kingdom of God. And whenever Nicodemus said, how can that happen? Do I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? And the Lord Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. He says, here's how it happens. And he used an illustration that Nicodemus would be well familiar with. And it was something that happened about 1,500 years previously. This is what he said, in answer to Nicodemus' query. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus would have known the full import of that. That lifting up the serpent in the wilderness was a brazen serpent, put on a pole, and the children of Israel, thousands of them, were dying all over the camp. And Moses said, if you look to that serpent on the pole, then your wounds will be healed, your life will be preserved. And the Lord Jesus said, just as that happened, by them looking to the serpent on the pole, I'll be crucified shortly. And if you will believe in me, look to me, or as God puts it in Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved. That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. If you do, if you will, you'll find the miracle of salvation wrought in your life. Would you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Would you turn away from your sin? Would you yield yourself to Him? You've been thinking about it for some time, perhaps. Now's the time. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.